Good morning. I am smiling real hard for several reasons, one of which is the most significant reason, second to the most significant reason, and the reason of Christ and him coming to be with us, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, to remember what he came for and what he has done and what he's doing even in our lives today. The second first reason to the first reason is, of course, my beloved, my wife of some 39 years, August the 4th, 1978, Sunlight Missionary Baptist Church at 3 o'clock p.m. in Meridian, Mississippi. I'm going to ask my wife, Cassandra, to stand. Amen. I am a trained husband, and I think I just mentioned a couple of things. And first of all, the graciousness of someone noticed how my Bible was moving, and the graciousness of putting this here is just awesome. That speaks a lot about this church. I've been inviting people to the church. I've got about four people I'm talking to at the hotel that's looking for a church. And I believe that they already have a church because of your pastor. I talked to your pastor through texting, and God is doing an incredible work in the ministry there. And you have, if you don't know this, let me tell you a secret. You have an unbelievable, incredible pastor. And everything that God has done in his absence is a picture of him being here in his presence, because nothing can be done with excellence without a shepherd who loves his people. And I see that love replicated back through you all as well. Thank you again for letting me come and hang out with you one more time. And we just give God praise and glory for that, because we know who he is and what he desires to do in our lives. I want to invite us to the sixth chapter of Paul's epistle to the church. Actually, it was churches in Ephesus, in the region of Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to lay out a few constructs for us. And if you have pen and paper, jot some of these things down, particularly the question to which we'll be looking at in the text today. Also, I always encourage, as a prayer discipleship evangelist, I always encourage people to bring their Bibles with them, and not their iPhone, iPad, iEars, iNose, iThroat, and iEye. Because when you bring your Bible with you, you can see the breadth and the width of the scriptures. And by having that, you also struggle in learning where the particular verses and text in the Bible is. And I would encourage you about that in your endeavor to always have your hard copy with you, just in case the electricity goes out on the iPhone, iPad, and iEar, and so forth. Ephesians chapter 6 is our study today, and I want to give a few questions here. I want you to jot some of these down as the Lord would have it. Do you believe that we are now living in the last days? Do you believe that we are on the very precipice of the last days? That is where right is called wrong and wrong is called right. Where the spirit of evil and debauchery seeks to trump the spirit of the righteousness of God. Far too many Christians and Christ followers are begging the question today, and that is this: are we now living in the last days on planet Earth? So, beloved, what then do we need to do to fight this spiritual battle between darkness and light so that the souls of men, women, boys, and girls will be saved and not lost? Therefore, beloved, what do we need to do as Christians, as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do we need to do to handle the devil's tricks, the games, the tricks of the devil? Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Ephesians 6 and beginning at verse 10 and following in the word of God. And this is what it says, Ephesians 6, 10 and following. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows from the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that when I speak God's word, that his word will be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I declare it fearlessly as I should. Repeat these words, as I should. Everybody, as I should. Look at your neighbor next door to you and say, as I should. I want to talk this morning from this thought, you can jot this down, how to handle the devil's tricks. How to handle the devil's tricks, colon, how to handle the devil's tricks, dressed in the armor of God. Let's repeat that together. How to handle the devil's tricks, dressed in the armor of God. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of mine heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my blessed Redeemer. In the name that is above every name, the name whereby every knee shall bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ, he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and for Christ's sake, and every heart said amen. Amen. Amen a second time. Amen. Come on, amen, just one more time. Amen. One for the Father, amen. One for his Son, amen. And one for his precious Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. May be seated. I didn't say Holy Ghost, so the convention won't get angry at me. Beloved, there are tricks and games that Satan plays. And he plays those games in our minds. Our minds become the playground of his activities that seek to inhibit us and to hinder us from being the very best that God would have us to be. In other words, beloved, you might say that it is a mind game. It is a game that he plays with us to say to us that we can't do it because we don't have the ability to do it. And very frankly, beloved, without God's strength and without God's power, and without the work of God in our lives, there isn't anything we can do. So he has Satan, this bag of tricks. And I'm not talking about trick or treat, Halloween is gone. But these bags of tricks that he plays in our minds to hinder us from being all that God has called and instructed us to be. If you hear me, say amen. Amen. One who is righteous, who is attached to God's direction. One who loves God with all his heart. One who endeavors to be what God would have him or her to be. You become a target of the evil one. And these are the tricks and the games that the devil plays that we must deal with every day of our life. So, beloved, as we are dressing ourselves, are being dressed in the armor of God, God helps us as believers to employ a good defense to keep us from having to be on the offense. God is the one who wants to do the offensive work for us. God is the one who wants to attack the portals of hell itself. God is the one who is able to deal with the issues to which we cannot deal with ourselves. God is the one who knows how to handle our business as Christians. So, beloved, these are tricks and games that the devil plays in our minds. The Apostle Paul, beloved, is now closing the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is very similar to the book of Colossians. When you read the book of Colossians, it is as if you're reading the book of Ephesians. When reading the book of Ephesians, beloved, it is written to a number of churches throughout Asia Minor, and the book of Ephesians is designed to speak to the very heart and nature of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians is written to a number of churches throughout Asia Minor in order to let the churches know that God is still on his throne, that God knows how to handle the church, and God wants the church to be transformed by the power and the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, beloved, we are the church. God has called us to be the body of Christ. We are the ekklesia. We are the called out assembly. And beloved, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. We are the people of the church of the living God. And it's time for the church of Jesus Christ to wake up. Give God praise to you. So, beloved, in the book of Ephesians, there are six distinctive chapters in that book. The first three chapters, chapters 1, 2, and 3, focuses on what is called doctrine. Let's say doctrine. And the latter three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, focuses on duty. So duty and doctrine. In other words, you got to know how to do-do. You got to do-do before you can be done-done. You got to know what the instructions are before you can do what the instructor has said. Amen? So Ephesians is uniquely divine in those six chapters with doctrine and duty. Doctrine means it is the teachings of God. It is the instructions of God. Every Christian need to know their biblical understanding of the doctrines of the scriptures of the Word of God. The more doctrine you're able to have in your heart and know what the Word of God is saying to you, the better your duty would be. In other words, beloved, real doctrine and solid doctrine, chapters 1, 2, and 3 underscores chapters 4, 5, and 6, real duty and real responsibility. So the book of Ephesians, beloved, is segregated in this dynamic and distinctive element of chapters 1, 2, and 3 that deals clearly with what God has instructed us to do as Christians, and that is to carry out the principles of righteous doctrine that leads us to a peace that passes all understanding with real duty. Now, I'm getting a little excited right now. My Afrocentrism may come out, so if it does, I want the sound system to go down a little lower because I don't want to blow everybody out and we all be wearing Afros and be looking like African Americans. I don't want to do that to you. Let's say it together. Doctrine and duty. Again, doctrine and duty. Doctrine is responsibility. Duty is what we do. So, beloved, in Ephesians 6:10, Paul says this, and underscore this in your Bible. Finally, beloved, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Watch this. Put on the full armor of God. Not the half armor. Don't leave your shoes behind. Don't miss all the accoutrements of the responsibility of the thing that God gives us. Put everything on every day. Dr. Charles Stanley talks about putting on the armor of God every day. He said every day he wakes up, he puts on the full armor of God, knowing that where he's going, that Satan is waiting to attack him. So, beloved, when we put this full armor of God on, that sounds so comfortable and so exciting. But what really complicates the matter today, beloved, in this particular situation is this. Jot this down. And that is the devil's schemes. The devil's schemes. The devil's schemes. The devil's schemes. That is the devil's tricks. The devil's tricks. The old English version and the old King James version of Scripture, it calls it something uniquely different. It's called the W-I-L-E-S, the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. But it's the same expression for the devil's schemes or the devil tricks or the devil games that Satan plays in our mind to hinder us from being what God would have us to be. So these devil's tricks that he plays within us, the wiles of the devil, Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand, take your stand, take your stand, take your stand. You don't have to fight him because he doesn't fight fair. But take your stand against the schemes and the tricks of the devil. I love the hymnology and the words in the hymn, standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Stand. And too often, beloved, as Christians, we are often sitting on the premises while we're standing on the promises. But God wants us to stand. Everybody say, stand. Stand your ground. So Paul says, he takes this phrase, the devil's schemes are the tricks of the devil, is prostes methodies to diabolu. Literally what that means is, it is the tricks, the games, the play toys, and all the kind of stuff that the devil uses to twist in our minds to tell us we're not worth a hill of beans. But I stop by today to tell you, in the eyes of God, every life matters. It doesn't matter who we are, what color we are. We are the children of the living God. Let me use my mother's quotation. My mother, Gladys Louise Ruth Agnes Taylor Loggins, a professional whippologist, she says, we are the chillens of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a child of God. So Paul says in verse 12, for our struggle is not against, get this now, is not against flesh and blood. Understand this now. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but watch this now. It's against rulers. Okay? It's against authorities, underline authorities. It's against power, underline power, of this dark world. It's against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In other words, what Satan wants to do, he wants to pull heaven down to the place to make it his own home. He wants to pull down the righteousness of God out of us. He wants to tell us that we're not worth a hill of beans. So, beloved, when the devil's schemes are coming at us, it begs the question, what then do we need to do? How do we handle the tricks and the game that the devil plays in our family, how he rips our families apart, how he tears us apart and hinders us from being what God would have us to be? One of my relatives that is very dear to my heart has joined a cult, and this cult has gotten her mind. And I wished her birthday was the 16th of December. I texted her and I said, happy birthday to you. And she texted me back and said, I don't celebrate birthdays. I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't celebrate any holidays. I operate by the law. She has joined a cult called the Black Israelites and traveled 150 miles one way to go to New Orleans every weekend on Saturday to worship at that place. Beloved, when Satan gets a hold of your mind, that tricks and the games that he plays is hindering her life from being what God would have us to be. Look at verse 13. Paul says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. That's the solution. Put on the full armor of God. That's the solution. So that you can, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your what? Ground. Now watch this. After you've done everything, underscore this, after you've done everything in your own strength and ability, when you've done everything you can do and you can't do anymore, don't stop standing. Somebody said amen. Isn't it awesome? That my limitations is God's opportunity for his empowerment. That when I'm walking with him, I am never without the help that I need. Isn't it awesome? Don't we serve an awesome God? Isn't God all that in the bag of chips? God is, in the words of Tony Evans, God is a bad mamma jamma. He is awesome. He's all that and a whole lot more. He's a committee all by himself. That's God. So, beloved, then, how then do we handle the devil's tricks? Let me give us a prescriptive approach to dealing with issues in your life. Things that you cannot unlock, things you've been dealing with in your life, be it habits, be it relationships, be it attitude, be it marriage, be it your family, whatever it might be, that you might be the typical husband who says, I will not let my wife shop till she drops. Brother, give up the American Express card. Give up the Visa. Give her the debit card. Somebody said amen. All the ladies said amen. The brothers looking quiet at me. So how then do you handle it? Here it is right here. First of all, we must put on the armor of truth. Truth. Paul says in verse 14a, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Truth. Truth exposes darkness. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same place. Get this now. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are the lighthouses as Christians for people who are walking in darkness in this community. So, beloved, God wants us to let our light shine. Here's a question. Don't answer this. This is rhetorical. Is your light shining in your home? Can your wife see your light? Can your husband see your light? Can your children see your light? Can your parents see the light of God, the truth light of God in your life as a Christian? Secondly, jot this down. We must put on the armor of righteousness. Righteousness. That word righteousness is a very interesting word. The word is to be in right relationship, in right standing, for the right reason, to do the right thing, for the right purpose. Righteousness is about, it's a word that says dakaosune, which literally means to be standing in the right place when everybody else is standing in the wrong place. Even if you have to stand in the right place all by yourself and no one else wants to stand with you, You have the armor of righteousness with you, regardless of what other people are doing. And while you're doing that, you're operating by the truth of God. Because you know the truth of God, the truth will set you free, and the truth of God is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have the truth of God working within you, and you're standing in the right place with the right reason for the right person, doing the things that's righteousness for God. Look at verse 14b. And with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, what the breastplate does, beloved, the breastplate protects our heart. It protects the integrals. It protects when those fiery darts come at us and we are being attacked. It just wards it off. Just recently, a policeman was shot in one of our cities, and I think it was in St. Louis just recently, and they shot a couple of policemen, but they had their Under Armour on. Their breastplate. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have your Under Armour on? Are you protected by the righteousness of God with your breastplate? Jot this down. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We hide God's word in our heart, in our heart, in our heart. Our heart is behind that breastplate in our heart. Get this now. Psalm 14:1. I'll be checking notes as you leave out the door. Psalm 14:1. This is what it says. The fool has said in his heart, watch this, there is no God. Isn't that sad? That people would say that God does not exist. That's a sad thing. Okay? So, beloved, God has given us the protection that we need with the truth that we know to operate against the schemes of the devil. Number three, put on the armor of peace. Peace. The armor of peace. The armor of peace. That God would give us a peace that passes all understanding. All you need, beloved, is just a piece of peace. One piece of peace can give you so much peace that you can become a peace sharer with others who do not know the peace that rests in your life. The armor of peace, the armor of peace. Look at verse 15, and it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace. There's so much in that. The word gospel means good news. That's the same word for evangelism. So the gospel of peace, watch this now. The gospel of peace means this, that everywhere you go, you're sharing the peace of Jesus Christ in your life. You're like a real good pig pen in Peanuts. You know, pig pen, everywhere he went, he was a dust bag. But in this case, you're carrying the dust of the peace of God everywhere you go. And people can see the peace of Christ in your life. Somebody said amen. Amen. Jot this down, beloved, if you will, please. James 3:18, it says, peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. James 3:18, a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of righteousness. Number four, the fourth one. We need to put on the armor of faith, F-A-I-T-H, the armor of faith, the armor of faith. Look at verse 16a. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. God has given us, watch this, the shield of faith to extinguish the arrows that Satan has aimed right at your family in order to destroy your marriage, to destroy your children, to destroy your grandchildren, to destroy your community, and to destroy your school, and destroy anything and everything where God is at work. There was a time when I was growing up back in the Stone Age, back during the dinosaur age, that we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance. There was a time we prayed in public school. There was a time we would read the Bible in the opening of the school. And we wonder today, where has all that gone? Beloved, we can have it back. Let me say that again. We can have it back. Let me say it again. We can have it back. Let me say it one more time. We can have it back because it begins with us. Somebody said amen. Hebrews 11:6, jot this down, says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, let's take a review. What was the first one that we said? This is the pass the test. What was the first one? Anybody? Okay. What's the second one? What's the third one? What's the fourth one? All right. Praise God. You're doing well. The fifth principle that we want to apply today is to put on the armor of salvation. Somebody say salvation. Look at verse 17a. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, what it does, it literally covers our head and our minds. It's the helmet of salvation. It covers our head and our mind, our minds. We're saved by the grace of God. Here's my question today to you. If you were to die right now, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven to be with God? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you are a Christian, that you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you were to die right now? I pray with all my heart that you would not leave here today if you don't know him. He's the greatest gift and the greatest blessing that you can ever experience in your life. And that's the saving power of Jesus Christ. Salvation. Jot down Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We're talking about the salvation, how we come to Christ in our minds. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Get this now. You can jot this down. We need to lose our minds. My mother, Gladys Louise Ruth Agnes Taylor Loggins, she knew that the portal of my mind was in my gluteus maximus. And my mother knew how to judiciously get to my mind and communicate it with a peach tree switch. And there were times when we were doing what we were doing, all seven of us, we were like little rugrats. And we had gone out and eaten up the whole kitchen, and my mother was working. And she came home, and we were all eating the kitchen up totally, and we were supposed to clean the kitchen up. My mother came in, and I was the watchdog, and I went to sleep. My mother came in off the bus, walked into the house. We all sleep, laying on the floor with the windows raised in Mississippi, and we were all laying together like seven little black pot-belly pigs. And my mother said, I am going to kill you. We believe that. She knew that to change our minds, it had a wonderful place and an excellent portal to get through, and it did an excellent job in my life. Somebody said amen. All right, we're having too much fun. We're having church and too much fun. Let me give you the last two principles here, okay? The sixth principle of the armor of God, we must put on the armor of the Word of God. It's a whole phrase. Put on the armor of the Word of God. 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 The Word of God, get this now. The word that he's speaking of here, putting on the Word of God, that's the word we use for the scriptures, the Bible. The Word of God, the scriptures. Put the scriptures in our mind. The Bible, the scriptures, memorizing scriptures, spending time with God. The more you know about God, the more you know about how to live on this planet Earth. The more you spend time in the Word of God, the more the Word of God will spend time in you. The more you spend time in the Word of God, the more you will love your wife, love your children. God, help me to love my children. I love my grandchildren. I really love my grandchildren. Now, my kids is another story, okay? Jot this down, beloved. And this is what it says. the power of his word. Look at verse 17b. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God. Watch this. Take your hand up and do this right here, just like this. Do this, just like this, okay? Imagine in your mind that your hand is a sword, and the sword is the word of God. When I was a kid growing up, remember our scriptures, we would say, do what? Draw your? Somebody help me. Draw your? And we had scripture memories, and we would say, draw your what? We knew this was the sword of the word of God, okay? This is called, you can jot this down, that word for word, the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema, R-H-E-M-A, R-H-E-M-A, rhema. Rhema is scripture. Now, what do you do with scripture? You take scripture and you pour it into your mind to get into your life to transform your living. That's the rhema. Now, watch this right here. There's another word for word, and it's in all caps primarily, is John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That is the Word, the person of Jesus Christ. That's called the living word. Let's say living word. This is called the written word. Let's say written word. Jesus is the? And the scriptures is the? Jesus is the what? And this is the what? So to get to Jesus, we go through the written word to understand the living word. And then once we've understood the living word through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's now living in us and he's dwelling in us, we can better understand the written word. The last principle that we need to put on, and we'll rest our case, put on prayer. Put on prayer. Somebody say prayer. Let me read it to us. Oh, here it is, verses 18 through 20. Get this now. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I will declare it fearlessly as I should. Somebody say pray. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. It gets the job done. Our nation is in a mess. And beloved, people who look like me, that don't look like you, we have been so divided. And I can't understand that. You see, beloved, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, we are the family of God. And beloved, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not fully equipped to deal with the tricks and the games and the play toys of Satan, then we leave our kids to become prey of the intellectualism that exists in our Ivy League schools, Harvard, Princeton, Yale. Many of our kids' minds are being contaminated. Most recently, I was reading in Columbia, at our wonderful school there, all the disdain that occurred in Columbia, at Mizzou, and it's happening all over our country, all the divisiveness and the evil and the deception. I contend today, if there ever was a time that God was raising up a church to be about our Father's business, to be fully dressed with the arm of God, I believe today is that day. And I also believe that God is looking for a church, maybe just like this church, that the people of God would hide God's word in their heart, that we might not sin against him, that his word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our pathways, that we become the people of God, that we know not only the living word, the incarnate Christ, the one who came and gave his life at Calvary for us, but we also know the written word, that is the scriptures. Every head bow, every eye closed.